Okay, there's a Medrash in this week's Sedra. The Medrash says the following: Vayigdalu hanaorim, the children grew up, and that's talking about Yaakov and Esav. Rav Levi Omar, Moshe lahadas va'etz bonis, shehayu gedelim zel gabei zeh. Hadas is a myrtle, right? It gives off a very nice smell. And an etzbonis is a certain kind of thorn bush. And they were growing together. Before they mature, you can't really tell the difference between them. The leaves look the same. But once they mature, the thorns come out on the thorn bush, and the myrtle gets a nice smell. Right? Kivan shehigdilu ifrichu zeno sin reicho v'zechocho. When they're immature, you can't really tell the difference between them. When they mature, you can see what they are. Kach, so too, kol yimol shana. The first 13 years of their life, Yaakov and Esav, shneim hochim lebeis ha-sefer, shneim boim lebeis ha-sefer. They both go to school, come back from school, couldn't tell too much difference between them. V'achar yud gimol shana, but once they became bar mitzvah, zeh ha-yaholech lebote midrashos, zeh ha-yaholech lebote avodos kochavim. This one went to the Beis Medrash, and this one went out to idolatry. Omer Reb Elazar, tzarech adam litapel bibno ad yud gimel shana. Person has to be metapel, he has to deal with his son till 13. Mikan ve'elech tzarech shiomar baruch sheparani mi'onsho shalzeh. And after 13, he has to say, blessed is God who has exempted me from this child's punishment. So there are many questions and explanations of this medrash. First of all, it says that the first 13 years of their life, nobody noticed the difference between them. They both went to school, came back from school, whatever. So Lechora, Rashi says that when they were in the womb already, when they already were in the womb, they already were very different. One was going out by Avodah Zarah, one was going out by a Beis Medrash. So, what happened now? Right? So how could they not notice them now? Okay. So that's one question they ask on this Medrash. We'll explain the Medrash. The Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Chaf Hei, Siv Beis, says that from this medrash we learn the baruch that the bracha that a father makes when his son becomes bar mitzvah, baruch shep torani me'onsho shel hazeh. Some say it with Shem Umalchus, baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam, and some say it just like that, baruch shep torani, without mentioning God's name specifically. What's this bracha about? What's the father making a bracha? And eventually we'll explain why dafka son and why the mother doesn't make this bracha. Okay. Morgan Avram says the bracha's intention is that until 13, the father gets punished for the sins of the child. And after that, the child gets punished on his own. So the father makes a bracha when the child is 13. Thank God that I'm exempt from the punishment of this child from now on. Okay. So first of all, that explanation is very difficult because there's a very big argument amongst the poskim whether a child who's not 13, a katan or a katana, right, not a minor, when they commit a sin, is it a sin or it's not a sin at all? Okay, meaning until bar mitzvah, the Torah did not command the person to do anything, for the most part, with certain exceptions. Okay, so therefore, if a katan eats treif, it's like he didn't eat treif, he didn't do anything, he's not commanded, or no, it's a sin, but he's not punished for it. Since he's not an adult, the Torah had mercy on him and didn't give him punishments yet. But the sin's a sin. One of the differences is, when he becomes an adult, does he have to do tshuva for the sins he did when he was a child? If there's no sin at all, there's nothing to do tshuva on. If it's a sin, it's just that he doesn't get punished, then when he becomes an adult, he should do tshuva for the sins that he did when he was a child. Okay, so according to the side, that's not a sin at all. How could the father be punished for something the child did? It's not a sin. The child didn't do any sin. So what's the father being punished for? So this only works according to the opinion that when a child does an act that for an adult would be a sin, it is a sin, just doesn't get punished for it. Okay. And the punishment goes on the father. Okay. This is a bigger question, I think, over here, and that is the whole idea of the bracha. Now, what's the father saying? Thank God, now I'm not going to get punished, let the kid get punished. What kind of father is that? Right? The Jewish mothers, right, would rather let it happen to me and not to my child. And God doesn't function like that. The Rabbanu Shel Olam says, like, he's like an eagle, protects us like an eagle. Let the arrow go into me and not into my children. So that's a parent. Here's a parent saying, oh, thank God, from now on the kid gets punished and not me. Right. We what's it called? To explain this opinion, the Magen Avraham, I want to say two different possibilities. One is that according to the idea that when a child sins, it's not a sin at all, so the parent can't be punished for something that's not a sin. Right? The Magen Avraham means something else. The father gets punished for the sins of the child doesn't mean for what the child does. What he means is the following. When a father sins and he has a child under 13, or specifically we'll see a boy, so he's punished doubly. One, because he sinned, and secondly, because then he's not a good example to his child. And even if the child doesn't see him do the sin, he's a different person. A person who sins is a different person than the person who didn't sin. And he's not capable then of giving over to the child the proper education because he's a different person. So he gets punished doubly. One, because of the child, and one on his own account. But he's not being punished for the child's sins. He's being punished for his lack of being a good role model or a good educator. In that case, it answers the second question too. He's not saying, I'm happy now, the kid's going to get punished. Right? Nobody's going to be punished anymore. I'm losing one aspect of my punishment for doing a sin, where I'm only going to be punished now for what I did, not because of what example I am, because the kid's already an adult. He's already bar mitzvah. That's one possible idea. Another idea is that when a child begins to walk, everybody's happy and claps and laughs and whatever, and the kid stumbles along and falls down, right? Now, when the kid was crawling, there was no chance of him falling. Now that he can walk, he can fall. But why are people happy then? I mean, nice if the kid now could fall. Because people weren't made to crawl in this world. They were more just made to stand on their own 2 feet and get along in this world. Same thing. People weren't made to be guided and ruled by other people. They were made to have free choice and make their own decisions. That's what you're in this world for. So the father said, until now, I was the patron of this child. Okay? And I basically was responsible for him. But that's not the purpose of a child in this world, to be that other people should be responsible for you. You should be responsible for yourself. Yes, the chance is that you'll mess up, and because of that you'll get punished. But it's better to be responsible and have the chance that you'll get punished and not to be responsible at all. Just like it's better to walk and have the chance that you'll fall than to crawl. So that's what the father's happy. And it could be Baruch Shep Torani. Can it mean, besides that you exempted me from the child's punishment, meaning now he's on his own and he is responsible, and I'm happy that my child's responsible, right? I'm happy that he's not dependent on me anymore. But pitorani can come from the word patron, patron. I thank you, God, for making me the patron of this child to bring him to a point where now he can be responsible for himself. So that is the one opinion of the, what's it called, of this bracha. However, the Radal asks on this opinion, if that's the case, then you should say the same bracha for a daughter. Because the father, the same way, right, is either punished for not being a good example to his daughter, education-wise, or what's it called, being happy that she's now on her own too and responsible. So why is it limited to a boy? It's mashma only when his son becomes bar mitzvah, but not when the girl becomes bas mitzvah. You don't say this bracha, and that's the halacha. You don't say it for a daughter. So there's another opinion of what this bracha means, Levush. The Levush says that until 13, the child is punished for the sins of the father. The opposite. A child gets punished for the sins of the father. That's only when he's a minor, but he's an adult, everybody gets punished for their own sins. Okay? So now, The father says, thank God that I'm no longer responsible for the punishments that will come to my child. So first they ask, on this opinion, child should make the bracha. Thank God, I'm not going to punish my father's sins anymore. Right? So, lechora, that would be, an answer to that could be, that would not be so respectful for the father, for a child to make such a bracha. And it says that somebody's punished, if somebody's punished because of them. If you cause somebody else to be punished, then you're something wrong with you. Gam anosh letzadik lotov. If somebody's punished, right, because of a tzaddik, then it's not good for the tzaddik either. So if you cause somebody else to be punished, it's something wrong with you. So that's what the father's saying. I'm happy that I'm not going to be punished anymore because my child's going to be punished because of me. So that is the idea of the bracha, right? However, there's also a problem, because the Rambam, amongst others, says that there is no such idea that even children are punished for the parents, even when they're young, except for idolatry. Most people are not idolaters. So therefore the bracha is said across the board, right? According to many opinions, children don't get punished for the sins of the father. So with that I explained a different idea. That what's it called? That it's not that the child's being punished for what the father did. But it's a natural progression. When a father does a sin, it has an effect on his child. Right? Surely children that aren't born yet, and even children that are born, right? So there's two kinds of punishments for a sin. There's the punishment that comes from the king, because you transgressed his word and you rebelled against him. And then there's the punishment that comes from the Aveira itself. It's a poison. There's something wrong. When you do an Aveira, it causes pollution. It causes an effect. And that effect affects the people who are connected to the person. It affects his children too. So that's the onish. Okay. The only problem is that applies even to children above 13. It says that when a father sins and the children continue the sin, then that poison goes on and it becomes worse. It starts with the father like a little sapling. It goes into the kid like a bigger tree. And then it's passed on to the next generation. Unless they uproot it, so they're suffering from what came before them too. And that's not only a child who's not 13. Okay, but it could be that after 13, the child has the choice to uproot it or not. Because he's an adult. So then the child's on his own. The father's not responsible. You could have uprooted that sin. But till he's 13, he doesn't really have free choice. He's a child. So then, but the father causes that pollution in the child's education. That's the child being punished for the sin of the father, meaning that what this father does affects the child, right, in a substantial, real way. Okay.
So, Rabbi,
I can't take questions. Okay, you hold the questions till the end. Okay. 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 The question over here, same thing. Why not by a daughter?
That was my question.
Same question, right? So this doesn't answer that question, right? It should be the same thing by a daughter. And here we can even add another question. Why doesn't the mother make a bracha? Right? Until now, my children were punished for my sins. Whatever you'll say, it works by the mother too, when not only the father. So Rashi and the Matnas Kahuna and the Radal all say, therefore, that's not the idea behind the bracha, neither of these things. Because if it would be, it should apply to the daughter, and it should apply to the mother too. Not just to the father and the son. They say a different idea. They say that the bracha is going on the responsibility to teach the child Torah, which is an awesome responsibility. That responsibility is only on the father, and it's only to a son. The father doesn't have to teach his daughter Torah, right? It's not to the level that he teaches his son, for sure. So since that's relegated to fathers and sons, and it's an awesome responsibility, and now you are exempt from that responsibility, so that's what to make the bracha. Thank God I am now exempt from, I finished my responsibility to educate my son. Now he's pretty much on his own. I have a responsibility like anybody, but it's not the same intense responsibility that you have for a minor child. Okay. The Maisa, though, then it doesn't say that in the Medrash, though. The Medrash says that until 13 you have to be metapel. You have to deal with your child. And he went to school and came home from school. It should speak more of the father's direct teaching the son, not sending him to school. So it should say, until then, you have to teach your child Torah. If that's the main idea, it should have mentioned that in the Medrash, not just send them off to school and they came in from school or whatever. Therefore, I want to say a different idea of the Chalal in this Medrash. And it could be that both ideas are inherent to what I'm going to tell you. Everything that everybody said. The Akedas Yitzchak says, there's a Gemara that says the following, that a person's shidduch is according to his reward, merit and demerit. Now, you get what you deserve. A tzaddik gets a tzaddikas and a rasha gets a rishita. The Gemara asks on that, but it says with 40 days before a person's conceived, it's already decreed who's going to marry. And at that point, nobody knows who's going to be a tzaddik and who's going to be a rasha. So the Gemara says, Kan beziva grisham, where it's decreed before you're born, where it doesn't depend on your merit or demerit, is the first marriage. And the second marriage already depends on merit and demerit. So some learn very simply, first marriage, second marriage. Some learn, the first marriage means if you get married before your bar mitzvah. So then it can't depend on your merit or demerit because you're a katan, right? And after bar mitzvah is called second marriage, right? Even if it's your first marriage, but it's after your bar mitzvah, then it depends on merit and demerit. But the Akedas Yitzchak says a different idea completely. He says your first zivug is not marriage. Your first zivug is your midos. That's your first match. God matches up your character traits with you. That's your first zivug. And that has nothing to do with merit or demerit. That's what you are. That's the framework that God gives you to function. Second marriage means when you get married to another person and then you also mesh in their midos. That depends on merit and demerit. Okay. Comes out that when a person is born, he already is given his midos, his character. However, the Svarim say that it's not really doesn't really come to the person completely till his bris. At the bris, that's when you get the full Nishmas Yisrael. That's why we name a child by the bris, because the name represents the attributes of the child. And at 8 days when you get the bris, that's when you get your name. That's when your attributes are solidified. However, they're not complete until bar mitzvah. At bar mitzvah they become complete, right? And that's why bar mitzvah is like a chasana. It says you have to make your son a meal at his bar mitzvah like you'd make him for his wedding. Why? Because like a wedding. The wedding is where you have a person being matched up with his other side. So being matched up with your midos is your first wedding. Matched up with your external midos is your second wedding. Right? So just like you make a party at the second wedding, you make it with the first wedding too. When's the first wedding? It starts by birth. It continues on by the bris, and it's completed by the bar mitzvah. So all of those, that's why we call the bar mitzvah chasen habar mitzvah. Let's say a chasen. But he's like a chasen because he's getting his first match. And that's what we say by a bris. Kishem shenichnas labris, ken yukonish latorah lechup lamaisen tovim. With that name that you came into the bris, your qualities, then you should go to Torah. That's your bar mitzvah will complete this. And then you'll have the chuppah, the other match from without, where you get other midos that will supplement your midos from the outside. And then, ma'aseh tov, then you'll be able to do good deeds, because then you'll be a complete person. Okay, now, till 13, even though you're matched up with your character at the bris, or at birth, right, but you're not in control. Says that Yetzirah Tov is not, a person is not in control till he's 13. So he needs a surrogate control. That's called parents. Okay? And specifically, that's why he's called a nar. The first 13 years, he's a nar. Nar means two things. One is his attributes, his abilities, capabilities, talents are misorer. They're beginning to awaken within him, but they're not complete. And minuar, he's bereft of control. So his He's beginning to bring out his character traits, and yet he's not in control of them. So he needs an alter surrogate control. That's called parents. Okay? And that's what it means. A person has to be, and what's it called? And that's why the father, by a son, is responsible to teach his child Torah, because the Torah helps to form his personality and give him the control that he needs. So the first, it's a formative years of life, those first 13 years, is forming the character of the child, and then later on, he becomes, what's it called, responsible, and uses that character. Then the father is no longer the former of the character, nor the surrogate control, he's just an outside influence, like anybody else can be an outside influence. But the first 13 years, the father is responsible to form, right, to create the form of that child's nature, right, to control, to give him control as a surrogate control. That's what it means. Tzarech letapel bibno. Letapel means to deal with him, but it comes from the word tafel, which means secondary. You become a surrogate, you become secondary to your child, you mesh with him. You're his control. When he'll grow up, he'll have a Yetzirah Tov that'll be in control. But you're his Yetzirah Tov now. You're Tofel, you're secondary to him. You're attached to him. That's the idea. And that's the Beis HaSefer. The father can create the limits. The Beis HaSefer represents the framework in which the father now puts that child. He creates the framework for the child. Sends him to a Beis HaSefer, brings him home from the Beis HaSefer. That's the framework. Okay? And that's the same idea we find by a child that if you have a mitzvah that needs kavana, you're baking matzahs. You have to do it l'shem the mitzvah matzah. A child can't do that on his own. But if you have an adult standing over him and telling him to have kavana, that helps. Because you combine the intention of the adult with the child, they become one. But it doesn't work by an adult. An adult thinks for himself. So you can't have somebody telling an adult to do something because the adult does it on his own. So once the child's an adult, the father is no longer forming and controlling. The father is now just advising and helping to guide or whatever. But he's not in the formation anymore. He's not in the control mode. Okay, that's why the first 13 years, it says, they didn't take notice. Because the child wasn't yet in control. So their characters were just in formation, and it was really on the parents to form that character. So they didn't take notice of the children themselves until they became adults and began to control their characters and use them. Then they noticed who they were. But until then, they were in the formation period, so nobody took notice of it. And that's why it says that when they grew up, Esau became an ish yodei tzayid. Ish means a master. A master over himself. That's when you become an ish. And Yaakov was an ish for his midos. Till then, they weren't in control. They had somebody else in control and helping them form their character. So nobody took notice because they were in the formation period. It didn't mean anything yet. Once they were in control, then you saw who they were. Okay. Okay, that's why it says the child is punished for the sins of the father, because whatever the father is missing as an educator, he's not going to be able to form his child's character that well, so the child gets punished automatically. He suffers, and that's what it means. He suffers for the shortcomings of the father. Since the father is surrogate and is a partner with him, so when one partner suffers, the other one partner suffers automatically. Okay? And that's the same thing. That's why that's the punishment the child gets for the father's deficiency, and the punishment the father gets for the child's deficiency. If I didn't teach him properly, right, then it's my fault. I'm a partner with him in all of that. So it's not so much the sin that he did, it's the character that he developed. Okay. So it's basically the same thing. Okay, in other words, they're looking at it from two different points, but they're saying the same thing. since I'm a partner in forming your character and controlling you, if I mess up, it affects you. And if you mess up, it affects me. So we're both affected by each other. And he says, that's why the Yafei Tohar says that until 13, you could tell the child with his IQ, smart, not smart, or whatever. But if he's a tzaddik or a chosid or whatever, that you can't really tell because he's not functioning on his own. He's functioning in a mode where other people are pulling the strings. You only know what he is when he's functioning on his own after 13. And therefore, it's only, this has an idea between a father and a son. Why? Because the father is the one who's responsible through teaching Torah to form the character of the child. The mother's responsible for the behavior of the child. Father's responsible for the formation of the character of the child. Okay? And that's borne out by the fact that a mother causes the foundation of Yiddishkeit for a child. But what is Midos going to be? He'll give you a Kohen, a Levi, from this Shevet, that Shevet, that depends on the father. The details of what framework the child's going to function in is from the father. The Kedusha of being a Jew, that depends on the mother. So the mother more directs the behavior of the child. Father more or less sets the framework of the child. So therefore the mother doesn't make this bracha. It's not, she's not involved in the first 13 years like that. And therefore it's not shy by the daughter. I was thinking the daughter, since there's no Talmud Torah, whatever, so a daughter, when does a daughter get the shleimus of her midos? Not by bas mitzvah, but by a marriage. She gets married and she now becomes together with her other side. That's when her midos become complete, okay, supplemented and complemented by somebody else. And it doesn't happen at bas mitzvah. So at bas mitzvah there's no bracha to make. And really the one who is responsible for most forming the midos of the girl are her husband, not her father. So the husband should make this bracha, but he's never plucked her from this season, so it's a lifelong thing. So therefore the mother doesn't make the bracha either by a son or a daughter, and the father doesn't make it for the daughter either. Okay. And that could be for that reason we don't celebrate a bas mitzvah like we celebrate a bar mitzvah. Because it's like for the son, it's like a chasna. He's now having that connection to his midos. But the girl's going to have to wait till her real chasna, so that's when we celebrate. And it's a lot more expensive to celebrate that, right, for the daughter than it is the bar mitzvah for the son. Okay. Okay. So that is, to a certain degree, the meaning of this medrash and the meaning of this bracha. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So they have to get married.
Right. A woman does not have to get married. There's no mitzvah. But since if no woman will get married, right, that will be the end of the world. And a man will not be able to fulfill his mitzvah of having children unless he gets married. Okay? Right. So a woman has a mitzvah to enable her husband to get, she has no chiyuv to get married, but she has a mitzvah that she's helping her husband fulfill his mitzvah, and for all practical purposes, women should get married too. Yeah.
But the next line was that men need marriage to become complete, and women are already complete. So how does that fit
I don't know if that's,
or maybe
if that's 100% the case.
Right.
Now it says that any person who's not married is still an incomplete person, man or woman.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean that an incomplete person can't be complete to a certain degree also. They're missing a certain kind of completion. It could be that a woman, and the Gemara says that it's not fair to put on a woman to have to seek to get married actively. First of all, it's not her nature. Second of all, she's the one who has to go through life threatening conditions of pregnancy. So Torah didn't put that on her. Put it on the man. But Avadei, she has to acquiesce because otherwise the world can't exist. That's more or less the reason.
So okay. The completion you're talking about is
more for the world, not for the individual.
But she said that that when she gets married, that's her
source. Right. That's when her midos become complete, because now she's an Ezer Kenegdo. Her midos were there to work on somebody else. Until she works on somebody else, they're not complete.